glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 20, chapters entitled The Rainy Season, and Autumn. And today, we're covering text 22.
Saraswanta Rodasu. Nusur angapi sarasa griheshwanta griyeshu gramya eva durashaya saraswanta rodashu Nyushur angapi sarasaha Griheshwa santa grityeshu Gramya eva durashaya Saraswanta rodashu Nyushur angapi sarasaha Griheshwa santa grityeshu Gramya eva darashaya.
Please chant.
Rashaya Sarasrasna Rodashu Eshkrasanta Griteshu Gramya Iva Darashaya.
Sarashu, upon the lakes. Ashanta, disturbed. Rodashu, whose banks? Yushu, continue to dwell. Anga, my dear king. Api, indeed. Sarasha, the cranes, Viheshu, in their homes, Ashanta, feverish, Krityeshu, where activities are performed, Gramya, materialistic men, Eva, indeed, Durashaya, whose minds are contaminated. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The cranes continued dwelling in the shores of the lakes, although the shores were agitated during the rainy season, just as materialistic persons with contaminated minds always remain at home despite the many disturbances there. Purport. During the rainy season, there are often mudslides around the shores of lakes, and thorny bushes, stones, and other debris sometimes accumulate there. Despite all these inconveniences, ducks and cranes continue meandering around the lake shores. Similarly, innumerable painful occurrences are always disturbing family life. But a materialistic man never considers leaving his family in the hands of his grown sons and going away for spiritual improvement. He regards such an idea as shocking and uncivilized because he's completely ignorant of the absolute truth and his relationship to that truth. Sarasva Santa Roda Shu Nyushur Angapi Sarasaha Griheshva Santa Grit Yeshu Gramya Eva Dorashaya. So the cranes continued dwelling on the shores of the lakes, although the shores were agitated during the rainy season, just as materialistic persons with contaminated minds always remain at home despite the many disturbances there. Om Gyanatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umlitam Gina Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I'd like to express my gratitude for Krishna arranging for us to come into such a wonderful sangha of Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. Such a sweet mood in this temple, and I feel honored to be given the opportunity to try my best to glorify the Srimad Bhagavatam and explain some of the points that are made in the verse and purport, expand upon them. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So in the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there's a very prominent verse, 7:27, I believe. Ichadvesha samutvena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani saram hoham sargayanti parantapa. That all of us, all the living entities that are in the material world, they've come here because they've been overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. And we have to look at, our trajectory, maybe in this lifetime, and we can see how that's entered in. What is this desire and hate? I want to be Krishna. I don't like Krishna because he's the center of the universe. I want to be center of the universe. So then we enter into the material realm, and we get this this amazing phantasmagoric situation, which just is unlimited. How powerful the illusion is. We're thinking that we're this body. We're thinking that my goal in life is to enjoy my senses. That's 99.9% of the world population is locked into that mindset. And by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, we've gotten an opportunity to escape from that. Well, figuratively, it's a dungeon. We're just maitunya agar. We're shackled by this, by the desire to enjoy sense gratification. There's a this verse in purport kind of runs parallel with some of the instructions that Prahlad Maharaj is giving. His father asked him, "What have you learned from your teachers?" And then Prahlad Maharaj, he responds, "Tat sarumanye surya surya." Surya varya dehinam sadasamo bhigadhyama sadgrahat itvatma patam grihamanda kupam vanam gatoya dharamashrayeta. So, you know, he responds to his father as the best of all asuras, the king of the demons. What a tribute. Be in such a wonderful position. As far as I've learned from my spiritual master, any person who's accepted a temporary material body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of falling into a dark well where there's no water, only suffering. So, then he says that one should give up this position and go to the forest. And he specifies, more clearly, one should go to Vrindavan, where Krishna consciousness is prevalent and takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, it's an interesting phenomenon within our movement. This is a little different than what's being described here, but the prarabdha karma, you know, we get the fan unplugged when we sincerely take up devotional service, take diksha. Even if we don't take diksha, if the consciousness is in a fully surrendered mood of just living our lives to give pleasure to Krishna and the Parampara, then the karmic fan is unplugged, but it keeps spinning, and the experience that most senior devotees have is that the prarabdha karma, we don't get a new body at the time of initiation, but the aparabdha karma, what's going to be coming in the future, that's wiped out, but the prarabdha karma remains fairly much the same. It's reduced. You know, we get a token reaction, as Prabhupada would say. It's reduced. There's not at the same degree of intensity. But if we look at our movement, there are very few devotees that have been in the grihastha ashram that take vanaprastha. It's like really rare. And because that's actually part of the formula. This is... You ever like pick up a Bhagavatam and open a page and the Bhagavatam's directly speaking to you? I'm 7 years old and I'm still in the grihastha ashram. You know, panchas urdhvam vanam vrajat. You know, at the age of 50, one should go to the forest. I started that ashram late, but one sense is that really an excuse. So, I'm kind of getting whacked over the head. Come on, Jamastami, wake up. This is important, you know, to even though it's not the same, you know, Prabhupada once he said that my grihasthas are even greater than my sannyasis because they're right dealing with Maya all the time and they're still Krishna conscious. And, you know, he's made statements like there's no need as long as the marriage is focused on pleasing Krishna to renounce. And, you know, and Prabhupada is himself tea or me, and, you know, and then exits left, you know, from that because his wife wasn't supportive. Nevertheless, that's a standard in the Vanashram system, Daivi Vanashram, you know, that we move towards a situation where we can get kind of the optimal spiritual facility to make progress in developing a relationship with Krishna. That's really, the purpose of our lives, you know, to reestablish that broken relationship. We turned away from Krishna, we made a big mistake. And so, you know, on a daily basis, we can have this mood when we chant or japa, please Krishna, take me back, accept me. We're like runaway children, like I'm a runaway from home, you know, and then we go back to our father, please forgive me, please accept me back. That's one very favorable mood that we can have when we chant our japa. My good friend Mahatma Prabhu has published a book. It's called Japa Affirmations. If you haven't got it, you should get it because it's phenomenal how much it can help with chanting japa. And that's one of the affirmations is to, and Prabhupada actually translated it. You know, like we have the famous Hare Krishna mantra address where he speaks about how we should have the genuine cry of a child for his mother. You know, please Krishna, please Radha, please energy of the Lord, engage me in your service. But this is another understanding that he gave. Please accept me. Because Icha Dvesha Samutvena. Oh, Krishna, is this being broadcast? Okay, so I just thumbed my nose. Because that's essentially what material life is all about. It's thumbing our nose at Krishna. And just turning away from him and saying, I don't need you. I just want to enjoy, I want to act like you are acting. So then the material energy makes an incredible arrangement. If you're in a male body, you get your Srimati Radharani and, you know, you can play act, go the whole thing, do the rasa dance, the whole thing. I've been on traveling sales kirtan since June, you know, as a grahasta to fulfill my responsibilities to get out of debt. What is it, debt disease? They should be dealt with immediately. I kind of delayed on this whole thing, but now I'm full tilt with it. So we work these football games and concerts and talk about play acting as Krishna. That's what it's all about. That's what this material world is revolving around. You know, just I want to be the center of the universe. So we get these enormous egos. And it's just all illusion. It's all illusion. And that's the power of the process of Krishna consciousness. It just dispels that illusion and allows us to achieve the highest possible levels of pleasure available to a living entity by reconnecting with Krishna in a very profound and meaningful way. So that we can actually experience Krishna, you know, on a minute-to-minute, day-to-day basis. You know, in 1975, Srila Prabhupada gave a Gita class in Ahmedabad, and he made an analogy. Just as the servants of the king, their responsibility is to serve the king. So, similarly, as servants of Krishna, our responsibility, not only serve the king, but please the king, okay? So our responsibility as servants of Krishna is to serve him and to try our best to please him. And when Krishna's pleased, then we're pleased. How is that? We make him happy, and then he opens the door to unlimited happiness on the transcendental platform. One of my favorite book distribution lines. I stop people. The last time I was in Chicago, I worked the airport. This is 1990. I had just gotten married, and my wife, she was the biggest book distributor in Germany, actually, at the time. That's why I married her. You know, that was what I was into, you know, really doing big on book distribution. We actually had our honeymoon in the Smoky Mountain National Park distributing books. We did huge there. A lot of people go to the Smoky Mountain National Park to have their honeymoon. So we did it in a little slightly different way. What was I going to say about that? Oh, Krishna, I lost the train of thought. Old age, disease, and death. There's an interesting comment about Janma Mrityu, birth, death, disease, and old age that Prabhupada makes in his purport. Janma Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, Dukkha, Doshana, Darshana. So unless one understands the distress of birth, death, and disease and old age, then there's no impetus for spiritual advancement. Actually, these little, you know, thorn pricks that we get in the material world are very, very beneficial for us spiritually. They're like steps and the staircase to the spiritual world. There's actually a quote like that. It's 11th canto, but it's coming from one of our previous acharyas. So, trying to figure out what direction I was going in when I brought up. Oh, rectal hair. Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you, Prabhu. I'm going to need help like this. You know, it's tough when you get to be 70. So, one of my favorite lines for distributing books, and I'd stop someone, where are you coming in from, sir? Well, I'm coming in from Nashville, Tennessee. And then I shake his hand. Well, no wonder you look so blissful. And I just kind of yuck it up with him, make friends. And then I kind of stop and look really seriously at him. He's probably, you know, maybe with his girlfriend or with his wife. And I said, let me ask you a personal question. Which do you like better, pleasure or pain? He kind of looks at me like I'm nuts, you know, and, you know, maybe some, looks at his girlfriend, maybe some lusty thoughts go through his mind. And he said, well, pleasure, of course. And then I say, ma'am, I think you picked the right guy here. And then they're both chuckling. And then I said, this book, and this would be Bhagavad Gita, tells you how you can achieve the highest possible level of pleasure available to a human being. Does it sound all right to you? And I said, sure. I said, well, you got to tell me one thing before you take the book. You got to promise me one thing. Whatever you do, don't stay up all night long reading it. Okay? Can you handle that? And kind of an assumptive close, you know, and they agree. And, you know, then I ask them for the donation. But it was like about an 85% sale rate. You know, because that's what everyone is trying to do in this material world. They want to enjoy, they want to be happy, but the fact is that they're doing it in the wrong way. Prahlad Maharaj, she goes on, there's a real famous, been a while since I've been in the Brahmachari Ashram, but there's a really nice, Brahmachari, yeah. Starts out with Yan. Okay, you know what's next? Yan maitu nadi grihamedi sukam hitucham kandu yanena karayori vaduka dukam tripyanti neha kripana bahuduka bhaja kandu tivan manasitam vishaheta dira. So sex life is compared to what? Anybody know? It's the rubbing of two hands together to relieve an itch. I got like an itch on my left index finger. So I'm rubbing my two hands together to relieve it. Okay, and so-called grihasthas Griyamedis who have no spiritual knowledge think that this itching sensation is the greatest platform of happiness. But actually, it's a source of distress. Those who are dira, however, and who tolerate this itching are not subjected to the suffering of the fools and rascals. Okay, anybody want to join the Brahmacharya or Brahmacharini ashram now after hearing that? Smart guy. Okay, you're dura. And not an easy path. You know, even, you know, I mean, I tell you that being a grahasta is probably about 10 to 15 times more difficult than being a brahmachari and staying on track. Because one can be upakurvan brahmachari. Anybody know what that means? Upakurvan brahmachari. That means that even though you're a grahasta, you're still like kind of following the principles that you learned as a brahmachari. So, but as Prabhupada said, if you can avoid it, better to avoid it because it's very, very entangling. That's the point that's being made here. You know, why go through all of the disturbances? And just go to the forest for crying out loud, you know? It's like, then you just take shelter of Krishna and feel, you know, the highest platform of happiness available to the human being. Experience that on a day-to-day, minute-to-minute basis. If you please Krishna, you'll feel blissful. That's how it works. It's an unbelievably powerful formula. Okay, so then how is it that we can get out of all the entanglement of this illusion? How can we do it? It's not such an easy thing. Matirna Krishna Parata Satova Mitobi Padita Grihavatanam Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamishram Puna Puna Stravita Charvananam. Because of their uncontrolled senses, persons who are addicted to materialistic life, you know, they're just totally into sense gratification. You know, just the uncontrolled senses. And you know, on their own, or with the instructions of others, the combination of both, they can't get free. Okay, so then that's from Prahlad Maharaj too. Prahlad Maharaj, for such a young boy, super sharp. You know, he really hit the nail on the head time after time. So then how do you do it? Naisham Matish Tavad Arukraman Grim Shprishad Yanarto Pagaman Yanarta Ahiyasam Parabajo Bashekam Niskinchananam Na Vinitan Yadvat. The way you do it is that you smear the dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee all over your body. And if you, what does that mean? Acharya Nishtha, have you smeared your body with the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee ever? What does it mean? Actually, we don't have a microphone, so we have an audience, so we can't really be interactive, right? Oh, you do have a microphone? Okay, so Acharya Nishtha Prabhu is going to inform us what it means to take the dust from the lotus feet of a pure Vaishnava and smear it all over our body. Go ahead.
Well, there's the...
I'm putting you on the spot, but it's
direct,
good for you.
The direct meaning.
Huh?
There's the direct meaning, and we have Srila Prabhupada here. So
okay.
Every day we take his dust and roll our body. Another meaning is by engaging in surrendered service to the pure devotee, you become blessed by their mercy.
Yeah. It's also a whole mood. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te gyanam ganinas tatvadarshana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively. Okay, so it's a submissive, humble attitude. Render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he's seen the truth. But it's a mood. You know, there's a very interesting quote in the preface to the Nectar of Instruction. But Prabhupada says that advancement in Krishna consciousness is dependent upon the attitude of the practitioner. So it's attitude. This is an attitudinal shift that we're involved in with the process of bhakti. We're shifting from being the center of the universe. What a damn fool to be thinking you're the center of the universe. To putting Krishna in the center of the universe, the center of our lives, the focus. In the spiritual world, the only thing that people are doing, they're not worried about themselves. All they're worried about is pleasing Krishna. And as a result of that, they're so happy. They're so deeply satisfied. They're just so blissed out all the time. We can be in that same consciousness even though we're in the material realm. Srila Prabhupada was like that. He experienced such a high taste. And it's an upward spiral. As we progress in Krishna consciousness, there's more and more taste as we advance. This is one of the indications. And taste and faith, sometimes Srila Prabhupada would use those interchangeably. If we have taste, we know Krishna's there. We know Krishna's present in our lives. Where else is that bliss coming from? When I was a new devotee, in 55th Street Temple, this is in 77, I had Urjasvat. Jitendra, you remember Urjasvat, right? What a kirtan leader, right? Remember Urjasvat? Kirtan leader, black body. Yeah, he passed away about like 4 or 5 years ago, I think it was. And so he was my bhakti leader, and my assistant bhakti leader was Hansarupa, who's now the temple president in Brooklyn Temple. And the way they used to teach us how to dance was to just jump as high as you possibly can. You know, it's like, so you got these guys, you know, jumping. I was an athlete when I was in high school. I went through like 10 years of hippie dump. You know, I get pretty high up there. And so one day, this was actually on the first Janmashtami. I joined in July, but the first Janmashtami that I participated in, the bhakti leaders sent us down to the temple for the 4:15 artik. And, what was his name? He black-bodied, and he led a lot of kirtans in India, in the Pando programs. He lives in Washington now. Someone can help. He lived in India for a long time, but it's just old age, you know, impetus for spiritual advancement. Anyway, he was leading his kirtan. So I was jumping up and down like a good boy bhakta. And all of a sudden, I just felt an incredible level of bliss. And interestingly enough, the bodies of the other devotees that were dancing with me, they became so effulgent. It was almost like they became translucent. And this powerful light was coming from their chest area. I said, what is going on? It was just like an amazing experience for me. I started thinking, because I was an old hippie and I was in a lot of anti-war demonstrations, you know, and you know, don't tell anybody. Oh, actually, I probably shouldn't say that. The one time, no, I shouldn't say it over here. It's being broadcast. I was going to tell about one of my anti-war demonstrations. I'll tell you in private, okay, if you want to know. But there was a lot of paranoia that we had about the CIA. So I thought, you know, maybe the CIA was involved with this and they were like hitting me with bliss guns or something. Like there was one book that Ken Kesey, he'd actually participated in the Mantra Rock concert, and he wrote this book called One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And it was about this guy that ended up in a psychiatric hospital, and he started imagining that the fog machines were getting turned on. Right, so here I was thinking, well, the bliss machines are getting turned on. You know, I couldn't figure out what was going on with it. I couldn't figure out where this, but this is actually coming from Krishna. Krishna's pleased. He was pleased with my jumping. And, you know, he just made everything completely blissful and transcendental. And I really, that was my first experience with that kind of thing. But Like I said, you know, as we progress in Krishna consciousness, as we become free from the inertias, the blockages to that real understanding of what our relationship with Krishna is, these are what the inertias are all about. They block it because they just push us into a sense gratificatory center of the universe mood. Whew. Okay, I think I've said enough. Let me read the verse again, and then maybe we can open it up for questions, chastisements, comments, reflections, as Vaisheshika says. The translation, the cranes continued dwelling in the shores of the lakes, although the shores were agitated during the rainy season. Just as materialistic persons with contaminated minds always remain at home despite the many disturbances there. Sounds like they're masochistic or something, these materialistic people. So any questions or comments? I can go on longer, but there might be. Yes, Prabhu. Now, you look remarkably familiar to me. Now, can you reintroduce yourself to me? Because I'm just drawing a blank for what's been so many years.
I have the fortune of your association in Brooklyn in the 1980s.
Say it one more time.
I have the fortune of having your association for quite a stretch in Brooklyn Temple in mid-1980s.
Well, yes. No, that was in 1989 when I was in Brooklyn.
Yes, you were doing Sankirtan, training
right.
Us in Sankirtan, and yeah, I was part of the Harinam program. My name is Subal Das. Back then I was Bhakta Cesar.
Say your name again?
Subal.
Subal. Were you on that party?
I was in the Harinam.
You were in
Harinam. You were with Jagya and the crew doing food
okay.
distribution.
Right.
But I would join you sometimes in the winter.
Right.
We would do Harinam through the year, and then in the winter we do...
Right.
Book distribution.
That was really big, that 89
it was fantastic.
Christmas marathon. Wow.
Yes.
Amazing.
And you were the inspiration for all of us. It was very wonderful.
I think I was probably the apparati, you know, like just kicking people.
No,
yeah.
It was so fun. I mean, and you haven't changed much.
Yeah.
You look
still,
almost
still
the same.
Still got the same inertia. So.
Thank you for being here, Prabhu. I was very happy when I heard that you were coming.
Okay. Well, good to see you again, Subal Prabhu.
Yes. I wanted to ask you about this. You mentioned about devotees in ISKCON, very little ones, you know, taking to the Vanaprastha.
Yeah.
And you say a little bit of your reflection about it, but I wanted to ask you a little further. Especially taking into consideration, you know, the times, is a little the instructions that we have on Vanaprastha from the Bhagavatam of, you know, in the, what is it, ninth canto of going into the forest and putting, you know, the tree bark, you know, all the things like that.
I got my tree bark shirt and pants upstairs, actually. You know. They sell it at Walmart. No, I'm okay.
Yeah, so the application necessarily, I mean, Prabhupada mentioned that one goes into a temple and, you know, that's our forest in one sense.
Yeah.
But the realistic application and also the reasons why, you know, it's very difficult necessarily for grihasthas to go into the Vanaprastha stage. Some of your reflections on that, you know.
So reflect upon why it is that so many grihasthas don't do that.
And in one sense, you have a lot of grihasthas doing quite, you know, tremendous service, older grihasthas, you know, like yourself, and you know, we have other, all the Vaisheshika Prabhu, et cetera, you know, yeah. That are still.
Well, and first of all, like Vaisheshika's wife is kind of his secretary, you know, and they really are teamed up in a very Krishna conscious way. So in one sense, you know, Anukulyena, you know, we should accept that which is favorable for practicing Krishna consciousness. So if it's favorable, like in the case of Vaisheshika Prabhu, okay. And, you know, he's a completely transcendental personality. I was just telling one of his disciples that when I first met him in 1977, and he was in 55th Street Temple in New York, and he used the English translations of Shishastakam for his Sankirtan lines. Oh, boy, it's the Sri Krishna Sankirtan movement, sir. You know, and he'd shake your hand and then go on with the rest of the translation. He'd sell him the book. He's just so, you know, enthused, so blissful. People just couldn't refuse. They didn't understand what the heck he was talking about. but it was just so powerful. So, but understanding what limited realization I have about it, there isn't really a culture that supports Vanaprastha in our movement so much. You know, that, for instance, you know, one good friend of mine who has edited a lot of the books that are published in our movement, and Tathavet Prabhu, because when I had a lot of people pushing me to go the sannyas route, and I had thoughts, you know. I said, well, I wasn't sure, you know. And so he said, my understanding is that the best time to do that is when your children are grown, they have children, and then there's a ideal service for your wife, you know, take care of the kids, take care of the grandkids. So, to a large extent, our Gurukul system has failed in that maybe a very small percentage of those that have gone into the Gurukul system stay, you know, in the Krishna consciousness movement. A lot of them just kind of exit. It wasn't the training wasn't done, like Prabhupada kind of said, the Mahavakyam for a Gurukul was, these are not ordinary children, we should love them. But that wasn't done to a large extent. That wasn't the mood. It was one of like severe chastisement. I mean, there was one ashram teacher that if a child misbehaves, okay, you go outside and you chant two rounds. Now, how the heck would anybody want to chant rounds in their adulthood if this was used as a rod of chastisement? You know, just that wrong mood. So that facility, you know, of a culture of the extended family, where, okay, now it's time for Pita to go to the forest, and we've got to take the responsibility on for the taking care of our mother and taking care of the family, raising the money. That hasn't really happened so much in our movement. Am I right about that? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's an important element, you know, because Guru, this is from Lord Rishabhdev, Guru Nasashat, Swajano Nasashat, Pita Nasashat, Janani Nasashat. You know, that one shouldn't become a spiritual master, one shouldn't become a father, one shouldn't become a husband, one shouldn't become a mother unless he can deliver his dependents from the cycle of repeated birth and death. So, if you just drop your wife, you know, say, okay, so long, I'm headed for the forest, and you haven't really facilitated her deliverance, then is that being responsible? Okay, so this is one angle of vision on the whole thing. And unfortunately, a lot of the renunciation that's thus far taken place in the movement has been done with a lack of sensitivity in that area. You know, so then, you know, kind of a floundering of the left spouse. You know, they have a tough time. There isn't really a system in place for them to make progress. They continue to need protection. They continue to need support. And that's what the oldest sons should do. Right? So, other things that I would say is that, you know, I'm coming from, you know, I've spent the last 5 years in Alachua, and I just heard a statistic. This was a Bhagavatam class that Radha Swami gave, because I'm traveling with a Radha Swami disciple, and I really love Radha Swami, and we've been listening to a lot of his classes. But he came up with a statistic that 67% of marriages end with divorce within 3 years in America. Okay? That's a statistic. This class was given a few years ago. I don't know the date of the class, so it may even be higher than that now. But what I understand is that the divorce rate within our movement is even higher than that. Whew. I'm broadcasting this, you know, now. But that's only because there hasn't... It's not that the Grihastha Ashram isn't a powerful facility for making spiritual advancement, but it has to be followed properly. A lot of times, what I've seen, like I came from a very, very large Grihastha community, and there's over 1,000 devotees in the community, but how many come to the morning program? Very, very small percentage. And, you know, how many take their vows of chanting their rounds seriously? I've heard different devotees speculate about that. You know, a very senior devotee, a real good friend of mine, said there's a small percentage. So the point is this: if there is a strong commitment to bhakti throughout the Grihastha Ashram, then it's a kind of a no-brainer, so to speak. This is what we got to do at the end of our lives. You know, you, my dear wife, you go and, you know, take care of the grandchildren, live a renounced life, focusing on Krishna. I do the same in my own way. It should be a mutually agreed upon arrangement, not that you just leave this poor jiva, you know, just devastated. So, but nevertheless, the principle is there. And as much as possible, we should strive for that. So Upakura Van Brahmachari, my wife used to, when we first got married, you're Vanaprastha. You know, it was kind of frustrated because I would kind of like, was acted that way. But then one sense, you know, to continue to do as much service as possible, and that's really what our agenda is. You know, double strength for preaching. That's what Prabhupada envisioned for his Grihastha disciples, his Grihastha followers. Did that make any sense? Or, yeah? Any other points on it? Huh? Okay. You know, one thing is I put my hearing aids in, but the batteries are dead because I haven't used them for. I've been driving the Nankirtan. Crazy, because all I do is say, what? That's my favorite word. What? Okay, so anybody else? Yes, Prabhu. I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
My name is Jai Baladev Das.
Jai Baladev Das. Wow, what a wonderful name.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for your class. You made a lot of wonderful points. And I really appreciate it.
Speak real close to the mic.
Okay. I really appreciate the point. You were like, even householders, I forgot the technical term, upakrama or upakarvana. Upakarvana. Even householders can be renunciants.
Yeah, brahmacharya.
And I'm sharing with you one of my favorite verses. Your class reminded me of this verse. I shared it with others the last couple of days. And maybe you could expand on this. This is from the 5th canto, chapter 1, verse 17. It basically says that, I really love this verse. It basically says that everyone is married. It gives an analogy. It says, even if a renunciate, I'll slow down if you like.
Okay, so say it again. I can maybe look it up. It's
5th canto.
5th chapter.
5th canto, chapter 1, verse 17.
Okay, let's see if it's in the Prabhupada's. No, not in here. Okay.
It says that even a renunciate who travels from forest to forest, he must always fear material bondage because he is married to six co-wives, the mind and five senses.
Yeah.
On the other hand, householder life cannot harm a person who's divorced from Maya. I'm paraphrasing, but it compares this renunciation of householders and monks. So that mostly reminded me of the Rasamuni pastime. Like the Rasamuni, he was a renunciate, but he was miserable.
Rasamuni. Okay.
He was, although he was a renunciate, we could see that he was very miserable because he was married to Maya. And Ambarish, even though he was a householder, he was always satisfied because he was divorced from Maya. Now, my question is that you were mentioning in your class that in this world, we try to be the center of the universe. And same with Durvasamuni. Durvasamuni had the notion that he could help others and that Ambarish couldn't. So my question is, when we're associated with devotees, even in a marriage life, the husband may think, I'm the only one to help my wife. But there's so many Shiksha gurus. So how can we give up this notion that I'm the only one who can help, you know, my dependents? You know, there's so many people who are blood types, so to speak. So how can we give up that? Or maybe you could expand on that.
Well, one thing is that, that's what a loving community is all about. You know, where the relationships are there. We're there for each other in time of need, you know. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a seminal line. And it's relationship based. You know, the our access to Krishna consciousness is actually dependent upon Vaishnava Sangha. And, Prabhupada described how he established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness as a facility for devotees practicing the six loving exchanges between devotees. So the Gunya Makyati Prichati exchange, you know, of revealing one's mind and confidence and inquiring confidentially. My word, I wouldn't be sitting here today. I would have blooped a long time ago if I hadn't had that facility and loving devotees to hear me out, you know, when I was going through a tough time. So it's the culture, it's actually the Madhyama culture where we have this respect and compassion for each other. There's a really nice verse also where Prahlad Maharaj is instructing his classmates. Naivodvije para dharataya vaitaranya stvad virya gayana mahamita magnachita so chetato vimukachetasa indriyarta mayasukaya baram uvahato vimudham. O best of the great personalities, I'm not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I'm fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. However, another translation that Prabhupada gives of that same verse in the CC, I'm just feeling so much transcendental bliss from chanting your holy names. But I am concerned about those fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and for maintaining their family societies and countries. I'm simply concerned out of love for them. So oftentimes what happens with the distress that devotees go through, it's because they're afflicted by material desires, you know. They're afflicted by, you know, what's going on around them. You know, there's the distress, you know, there's some kind of like a breakage in their, either their kind of status quo, you know, kind of their profile, you know, they've been insulted or they've been hurt, their heart's been hurt, but, you know, somehow they, Amanena, Manadena, you know, they couldn't quite get, you know, that to tolerate and not expect respect. So oftentimes that's what takes place, you know, when we, you know, in a society of Vaishnavas, you know, we're not quite advanced enough to handle the, the feedback, you know, that we might get, you know, or the criticism that will come. We need to avoid criticizing others, but sometimes in a management position, you have to. You just have to discriminate and, you know, draw lines and whatever. But also within a community, sometimes there's this gramya kata, you know, critical mentality that comes out, and people are put down, and then they feel hurt. And so how to go through all that? You know, this is where the guhyamakyachitti comes through. Or what about, you know, Prabhupada discovered this verse, and I recently, you know, meant a lot to me, till in his grihastha days, and as he was reviewing the Bhagavatam, Yasha, it's a real easy one to remember, 10.88.8. You know which one it is? Yashaham anuganami harisheta danam shanai tato danam tajantyasya swajana dukha dukitam. When I feel especially mercifully disposed towards someone, I gradually take away his material opulence. Then his friends and relatives reject this most poverty-stricken and wretched fellow. I mean, what mercy? I had $100,000 that Krishna took away from me like 4 years ago. It was great. But boy, did it ever cause a lot of friction in my family. Whew. Heavy duty, you know. So, but, you know, I had to consult with quite a few people about that one, you know, and do a lot of guhyamakyati prichiti. But that's really, you know, if we understand, you know, we as individuals understand that Vaishnava Sangha is not, you know, just, you know, I got my family, you know, and I'm my griha, and, you know, I'm the supreme controller of the griha, and I'm going to solve all the problems. It's the same old, you know. But if I'm a humble servant of my wife, humble servant of my children, and humble servant of Krishna, trying my best to strengthen Srila Prabhupada's movement, in spite of all the limitations that I've got materially, if that's our intent, and then Krishna's going to be pleased. Bhavagrahi Janardana. Krishna looks at the intent. That's what is the most, even if you can't do it, but if you're trying, for crying out loud, you know, you're going to get the bliss. Anything else? Yes, it's back to Alex, right? Not too bad for an old guy. Remember your name from last night.
Thank you, Janmasmi Prabhu. Just one quick question. In the beginning, you're describing taste and faith.
No, say again.
Taste and faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how Krishna consciousness is like an upward spiral.
Yes.
I really like that analogy. But seemingly, for my own spiritual life, it seems like it's difficult to make progress or advancement. I was wondering if maybe you could elaborate on the upward spiral.
How to do it.
Yeah.
How to do it. Well, you know, one thing that... Okay, this is going to sound like whacked out fanatic, okay? But Prabhupada gave us tremendous facility to do this. He gave us his books. I mean, what an endeavor. Think about this. Every single night, I think it was at 11:30, he would get up and start his translation work. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did. So we got that, and if we really want to clear the heart quickly, review the second chapter of the first candle. It's got all of the, you know, step-by-step formulas, but a lot of it's going deep into studying Srila Prabhupada's books, because we get his association. We understand the mood, because that's, you know, like pastime after pastime. It's the mood of the devotees that comes out. That's a mood. And then we see, well, what's my mood? That's not my mood. Okay, so if you've identified an anartha, so then what do you do about that? Anarthas are what's blocking us. We're watering our weeds and we're not watering the creeper. Okay, so in Bhajan Rahasya, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's... I think it's Bhajan Rahasya, yeah. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on Harinam Chintamani. There's a couplet. Two verses together that almost seem contradictory. Um, The first one, it goes like this. If one fails to try to free himself from anarthas, he does not meet with success in this lifetime and does not achieve the mercy of the holy name. Okay? That's the first verse. Second verse in this couplet. On one's own, one cannot free himself from anarthas. But if he cries to the holy name for several days, the holy name will remove all the anarthas from his heart. So the point is, if we take very seriously the most powerful anga of bhakti in Kali Yuga is the chanting of the holy names. So our best intelligence should be used in chanting Hare Krishna. So what does that mean? I don't eat a big meal at night before I go to bed because my brain's going to be groggy in the morning. I avoid offenses throughout it. Chanting 16 rounds attentively is not just a 2-hour event. It's a 24/7 event. Our whole lives have to be focused. And I try my best. Okay, I'm asking Krishna to please engage me in his service. Okay, so then when I get the chance to do service, poof, I'm full on. I've given everything I got for it. Vyavyashyatmika buddhi. And if we have that mood, you know, I'm just giving my whole life to pushing on Srila Prabhupada's movement. And in order to do that, I need tremendous spiritual strength because it is not easy. It takes, you know, and we know, like Nam Kirtan and I, we're going out and hitting Maya head on. You know, these people that are drinking and smoking dope and, you know, all kinds of nonsense, and we engage them. Not to Sukriti, but we get a few books out too. But mostly we're getting, you know, because, you know, Yasya Hamanuganami, you know, Krishna took it away, so I got to do something about it. But the point is that we take very seriously what Srila Prabhupada has given us, every little detail, and do it. Utsahan nishchayat daryat. That's kind of the triad for success in Krishna consciousness. Utsaha, you know, super enthusiastic. Utsahan nishchayat daryat. And we're fully confident. We got faith, you know, that by doing this, this is going to, you know, we're just so determined, so we persevere because we know that if we do this, then our life will become very successful on a transcendental platform. And we're patient. We're patient with ourselves when we're not up to the mark, but we just keep going. We keep pushing, you know, to come up to the proper standard. We're always moving towards perfection. We don't lay back. One tendency that Srila Prabhupada identified, when we got Utsaha Mayi. Anybody know what Utsaha Mayi means? It's from, what's the book? Madhurya Kandambini. Yeah, Utsaha Mayi is Nu Bhaktaitis. Okay, when you first join, wow, this is great, I'm totally into it, okay? But then to keep that enthusiasm going year after year, that's so easy. I took initiation in 1978 from Satsrup Maharaj. There were 19 devotees that took initiation with me. One of them left his body. And the rest aren't active. So there's, why? Formula works. It's just we got to stay enthusiastic and determined. The tendency will be, when we go through, like my first maha test was when I had been in the movement 4 years. I won't go into the details, but knocked me for a loop. I couldn't believe what had just taken place. Took shelter devotees, and but a lot of times what happens when the Maha test comes is that we reduce our enthusiasm. I don't want to. And then step by step, downward spiral into the modes of material nature. But if we maintain, our sadhana, then it works. Ask any sannyasi. They didn't start as sannyasis. They started new bhaktas because they strictly followed. It means every aspect. Prabhupada gives so many different facilities for us to do it. He gave us the tools. We just got to use them. Okay, I'm late for a call. I was supposed to speak with my wife and a devotee in Mayapur to work out some financial challenges. To reverse the Yashaham Anugrahami. Okay, so you have to forgive me. And if you want to talk to me more, I'll eventually be at breakfast. Okay, thank you. All goes to Prabhupada. Thank you again for your mercy in allowing me to be here for a couple days. I hope I can come back. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, I hope I did something right. You're not going to hit me, are you?